Jim Bianco is the president and macro strategist at Bianco Research. He joins us now. Jim, how do you take a look at the data this morning, knowing that we have more data to swallow ahead?
Yeah, you know, the headline number looked a little bit weak, but when you look underneath it, a lot of it was trade and was inventories that dragged the economy down. So the traditional measures of spending have been there. And then it was the inflation numbers. They were above consensus, 3.7% annualized rate for the personal consumption deflator. And that's a problem because it's suggesting that the economy is not slowing enough, if it's slowing at all, that it's bringing down inflation and that inflation is going to continue to stay a problem. And that's what I think was the primary catalyst for bond yields to hit a new six-month high today.
Well, you look at the two-year alone and you see it just nearly touching 5%. It's just trying to break into that level. How do you think that this kind of changes the calculus around how people are willing to trade this bond market?
Well, I think the problem you're going to face, especially when you focused in on the two-year correctly, is that we seem to be pushing out the rate cut all the way to December. Well, that's the process maybe of bringing a rate hike in, because if you don't bring a rate hike in, there's a very limited amount that the two-year yield can go up. I mean, if the Fed's not going to raise rates anymore, it's, you know, it could still go up some, but not a whole lot. And if the economy is not slowing, that could actually become somewhat of a stimulus for the economy that you might need even higher interest rates. But that said, I do think that you're going to probably see rates head higher, but not as much more from here. To use a baseball analogy, probably in the seventh or eighth inning of this rise in rates. And if you know baseball, a lot can happen in the final innings of a game, but you're getting towards the end of this move right now. And it could be very painful, especially for risk markets like equities, because as rates went above 4.5% in the 10-year note, the stock market has really been struggling. And if it goes to 5, not that far away right now, I think it's going to continue to struggle.
How much would it struggle from here, and which assets struggle the most in that scenario?
Well, let's go back to last year. From July to October, the 10-year yield went from 380 to 5%. The 10-year, the S&P 500 corrected 10%. It's gone from 380 now to 470 in this move, and the S&P's corrected 6%. It's almost like it's a complete overlay of last year. So if you just follow that, you can have another 10% correction. Look, we're more than halfway there as well. And what typically has been really the interest rate sensitive sectors, the smaller cap stocks, value stocks that matter more for interest rates seem to be struggling a lot more. I know that today, you know, you've got Meta and some of the other big Magnificent Seven stocks really struggling on the back of those earnings. But it will be a big headwind for the stock market, these higher rates.
Speaking of more stocks here in the middle of earnings season, you saw such a big shift in sentiment heading into this week. So much optimism. There were days where every Magnificent Seven stock was in the green this week. And now you look at today and there's a very different story going on. How do you really handicap how to feel about big tech in this environment?
You know, it's funny you brought that up, because I noted that too, is that by Tuesday's close, you know, 2 days ago, it was like everybody's like, the stock market's on its way. It seems to be doing well. And I was like, did we memory hold last week? It was the worst week in a year. Did we memory hold the 6% correction? We're not near the all-time highs in the stock market right now. And then reality hit us yesterday, and reality is hitting us a little bit more today, that this is a correction and that there is some headwinds that the market has to face. And we're going to have to basically, you know, I think we're going to have to reassess our views about big tech, and I think we're going to have to reassess things. Now, that's not to say the market's going to go down, but we had a straight line 28% rally for 6 months in the stock market. That's extraordinary. That's already happened. Now we're in a correction stage. Now we'll probably hold most of those gains, but if people think that no, it's supposed to straight line 28% all the time, you've already had it. If you didn't capture that one, there's probably not going to be another one like that for a while.
Hey, Jim, how do you think about the potential at this point, not about rate cuts, but around rate hikes? If you think about the risk that you kind of presented earlier, it's the risk that rates go even higher from here. What are you watching to kind of gauge how big that risk could be at this point?
So you've got one rate cut priced in for the year, down from 6 a couple of months ago. I would probably say that the probability of a rate hike is above zero, but it's not above 50%. So, you know, none are priced in, but you're leaning that way. All year, we've seen beats in payrolls and in CPI, retail sales, and a lot of the big headline numbers. If we continue to see beats, that probability of a rate hike will continue to increase. But let's throw the calendar in there, too. It's an election year. These numbers could massively beat, and the Fed is not going to raise rates if that's warranted, until the end of the year. And the problem that they face is if it's warranted sooner, they're going to probably stall because of the election, and that could actually overstimulate the economy. So we better start seeing some slowing in the economy here real soon. Otherwise, this rate cut will become a rate hike, and it will become a rate hike months away because of the election, and that could be very problematic.
Well, what do you think about the potential for things to slow a little faster than people expect? You know, thinking back about this GDP data and the mixed bag you're really getting with the idea of slowing GDP but still persistent inflation, and you wonder whether rate hikes at this or rate, you know, staying stable at this level, at what point does that ripple effect start to weaken things faster, perhaps much faster than many are expecting right now?
Well, if you look at the GDP number, what you saw in it was a weak government number. It only added 0.2 to the overall 1.6% number, where the government has been adding a lot more than that. Now, the government has not found some austerity program that is going to rein it in. You're probably going to see either revisions to that number or a big bounce back in the subsequent quarters of that number. Same thing with trade and exports. They dragged down GDP by 1%. They had been additive to GDP in the quarters coming in. That's going to come. So what I'm trying to say is that you take a look at those numbers that drag down GDP and the consumer spending numbers are staying relatively strong. I'm having a hard time seeing where that slowdown in the economy is going to come. Oh, it will slow a little bit, but probably not enough to rein in inflation. Today's number is a good example of that. 1.6% headline did not comfort the bond market that we were reining in inflation. And so if we continue to see stronger numbers, we're going to continue to see higher rates, probably pushing through 5% and getting everybody all worked up that inflation is a real problem.
Jim, we thank you so much time for such a sober view on these markets. That is Jim Bianco, president and macro strategist at Bianco Research.